Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, two in the books, one to go, 1 hour left of the big show before we turn over to Fred, AJ Jong, and the Blitz on an FEF Friday. We've covered a lot of ground today. One topic we haven't got to yet is baseball, and I know that it is the off season, and the Astros are already, well, we won't say shot there, you know what, but they have done enough for us so far to this point, and they might not be done, but, you know, Garrett Cole last weekend, don't call me Derek, in the fold. But baseball news is that Rob Manfred and baseball are now working on speeding up the game, which we kind of all felt like was coming down the pike because of how long games were taking come playoff time. So they're talking about some of the obvious things in terms of how many trips to the mound, which we said was going to inevitably come up. Also, they're talking about trying to put a clock on both the batter when he gets into the box and also pitchers' times between batters that they take before they have to throw the next pitch, et cetera. So it's gonna be interesting because obviously we know the game itself, you can do all these little things like intentional passes instead of throwing the four balls, but you can only do so much. But Lance McCullers immediately responded and said, you can't limit mound visits, especially from the catcher, when everyone is using advanced technology to steal signs. You have to change them too often to try and keep things as quote-unquote even as possible. And I'm not talking about signs when a man is on second base.
I get that.
It's a valid point.
I think it is a valid argument. I think you should be maybe allowed a certain amount of trips similar to what a manager could have, but you could limit it. So you could say, you know what, all right, you get two mound visits from the catcher to the pitcher or vice versa, or three, and then limit, because, dude, in the World Series,
it was
after every pitch at one point, it seemed like, and it's like, okay, guys, there's got to be a way you can, kind of like in the huddle when you call, all right, next three plays, we're going to run this, this, and this, let's go hurry up, and let's just get to the line and run them. You could do the same thing. All right, we're gonna go first. The first number dropped. We're gonna go third, and then we're gonna go the second. But so let's do that on the next three pitches.
Also, though, you have to take into consideration that Nuke Lelouch is on the mound sometimes too. They got the astronomically quick road to the big leagues, but might have not had the brain power.
Yeah.
And did he say one or two on that first batter, and then the second batter, and then, you know, throw fastball when you're thinking curveball and cross everybody up?
Yeah, but that shouldn't be an excuse. If you can't remember that simple stuff, then that's on you. But the article that you posted from Deadspin had some things they kind of laid out. Said the league is planning for a 20-second pitch clock, regardless of whether or not any runners are on base, with the clock able to reset if the pitcher steps off the rubber. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, they're just going to step off and step
just
back
going
on.
I'm not ready yet. I'm going to back up. That's not going to help anything. I think that clock has to be enforced. So if you want to say, all right, we'll do 30. Or we'll do 35 with the opportunity to step off. That's different. But just being able to step off, I could buy 40 seconds by just stepping off the rubber.
But think about the opposite. The reason why you have to at least get some kind of a reset, even though it's not going to help with timing, is it's like pass rush. If you're a defensive end and you're looking at the play clock behind the quarterback and you know it's at 5, you can get such a jump off the line of scrimmage because you know it's coming.
Right.
So you can't let a base runner who's looking at the clock out in center field and goes, well, he's at 5. He's got to go to home. I got to go.
Yep, that's a good point. And then you also have, what if the batter steps out? Are you going to penalize the batter?
Yep.
So you have to make sure the batter's ready. They said a pitcher will get one warning per game for violating the clock, and he'll be penalized with one ball per violation. After that, as for mound visits, any trip to the mound by a manager, coach, or player, or trip off the mound by a pitcher to talk to another player will count as a visit, and a pitcher must leave the game after the second visit in a single inning. Additionally, a 30-second timer installed between batters. Each of these measures is a little harsher for the corresponding version, but that's the big things that they want. So they want a 30-second timer installed between batters. So you get 30 seconds from...
to go around the horn and get the next guy in the box.
Yeah, and but again, you got a guy like Marwin Gonzalez who'll eat up 2.5 minutes between pitches.
You're right.
So that alone, I think you could say, all right, 35-second clock for the pitcher. The batter has his own clock, and you guys got to be ready for play.
Now, I don't know if you
noticed
this or not.
Give everybody 15 seconds in between pitches, and then it's time to go. And if you're not in the box after 15, it's a strike.
Because we're both baseball aficionados, but last year they experimented with the clock between innings to where when, you know, at a certain point they start, I forget how
pitch
long
clock.
It was, yeah. But it was like, okay, you got this much time
for warm-up pitches and whatnot
to get your warm-ups done and get the first guy in the box. And then between the first and the second batter, they were experimenting at one point with a minute or two that you had to get the next guy going. But now they've even shortened that. Not surprisingly, Chris Rose from Intentional Talk, he tweeted out there via Ken Rosenthal that the Players Association for Baseball has rejected all of the pace of play changes.
So that's my question to you guys. Ultimately, are you guys for or against it first? Are you guys okay with it as long as they tweaked it a little bit?
So
in between, maybe.
I don't mind the pace of play because I enjoy the game of baseball. And to me, that's part of what I fell in love with as the sport. Okay. Do I mind that they speed it up? No. If you want the intentional ball or the intentional walk, just sending the runner down, having a pitch clock, having a hitter's clock, those things don't bother me either as long as it doesn't negatively affect the game like what Lance McCullers was saying. If the pitching gets sloppy because people are stealing signs, then I would have a problem with it because you're affecting the game and not enhancing it. I don't mind the pace of play, though, but that's just me. A lot of people don't like it, though, and I think if you really want to grow the brand of baseball and attract the younger crowds and the younger audiences, you're going to have to do something.
My answer would be anything that doesn't mess with the integrity of the game. And I think that as much as I understand that the no intentional walks, you just give them the pass and they go, but it is rare. But you still, it's part of the game that you got to throw four out of the strike zone. People don't realize that there's a rule. The catcher can't actually skip out behind one of the batter's boxes to catch the wide pitch until after it's left the pitcher's hand. So there's a skill. I played with guys in college that couldn't do it. It just screwed with their mind and their tempo, and they would bounce it. They would throw. So I was against that. But I realized that with families and from a marketing and professional standpoint, you're trying to get it done so that families can take kids to the game, still get home, all those different things. As long as it doesn't mess with the integrity, I don't like it because I don't like that a guy gets an extra pitch if they tag a ball on somebody. When you start looking at, you don't really think about it, but then at the end of the year, hey, if you were in a tough count, but all of a sudden you got an extra ball added, suddenly instead of a pitcher's count, it might be a hitter's count or it might be a walk instead of, you know, an at bat where you might make an out. I don't like those things. I get it that they're trying to do these things. I credit them for trying to look at things. I just don't want it to mess with the game that hasn't been broken for all these years.
If you don't like that, how would you speed up pace of play? I mean, what's the one thing you could see that they could do?
A lot of things between innings. I think between innings because, again, there's a lot of marketing. There's a lot of things with the Jumbotron and the sausage races in Milwaukee or however everybody's doing that now and all those other things. You know, look, bottom line is, I get that the seventh inning stretch is a big deal, but like here at Minute Maid, they play both the first seventh inning stretch. They play Take Me Out to the Ballgame. Then they play
God Bless America.
Deep in the Heart of Texas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And they do God Bless America as well?
Sometimes in the playoffs.
They're not taking away Deep in the Heart of Texas.
I'm just saying,
right now,
there are ways
they're
without
not
messing
you can
with
have
the game.
Deep in the Heart of Texas when you pry it from
that
my cold
when it plays
dead
at Minute Maid
hand.
Park. Everybody's singing it to it. Everybody's singing it to it. Like everybody's.
And I hate how many times the catcher goes out to talk to the pitcher, especially in the playoffs.
But the reason why I was asking you guys that is because Rob Manfred, like from everything that I've read, he's like the only one that really wants to do this. The consensus is they don't want this to be done, at least in players. So does this do anything to, like, could this potentially impact his legacy? Because down the road, you know, if this is completely a bad idea, it's essentially on Rob. I haven't heard anybody say, hey, I'm in agreement with Rob. I haven't heard one person say that.
trying to change the time of a game is not going to make him Bud Selig anytime soon until he starts making all-star games determine home field advantage in the World Series and calling games ties. To me, I don't think that's going to give him a bad look. I think it's actually a good look that he's actually exploring it to try and see if there are ways to speed it up.
Yeah.
But overall, good luck. Because I just think unless you mess, you screw with the integrity of the game.
Got to do something. Got to do something. My buddy Adam Bob, we were talking about, does weed enhance or delay gratification during sex? He said, actually, when you're high as hell, you don't need porn. Your imagination is on like level 10, so you don't even need it, which I didn't know. So good to know.
Yeah.
And I asked my niece if I could use her GoPro.
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, as long as you don't get any camel poop on it. Like, what? I'm not going to be shoving it up the camel's butt. I don't need a backup camera.
He may be shoving it up yours, but
I just need All right. Well, so this is definitely going down.
She knows you well enough to know you're a germaphobe. You're not getting near poop anyway.
But no.
All right. We'll continue to roll on with more of the big show. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. So glad that Mattress Mac is with us because I have been a loyal customer of Gallery Furniture ever since I've been in Houston. And it's not just marketing slogans that he throws out there to be catchy to the H-Town crowd. He really stands by and delivers with what he says to you in all of his commercial messages. That is, you buy today, you get it tonight. There are no back order slips. And most of all, and we just had some people here in the office that went out there to buy living room furniture to back me up on this, their prices are not only competitive for a higher quality of brand of furniture, but they're probably going to save you money against anybody else in the market that sells the same kind of quality furniture that Gallery Furniture does. And just like they did last year with the win it all, get it all promotion with the Astros, and if the Astros win it all, you get it all with your bedroom furniture if you spend $3,000 or more, Mac has doubled down, and he's doing it again. You spend $3,000 or more on bedroom furniture right now, and the Astros win it all again next year, you get it all free one more time. It's just the way he does business. It's not just a marketing campaign. One of three locations is all you need to stop at. They have three. If you want to stop at multiples, go ahead. One in the Galleria at Post Oak across from Dillard's. One on Highway 99, the Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, and the mainstay I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Mac sits at the front desk right there and will greet you when you walk in. He'll put you in the hands of capable salespeople, and they're going to be customer-focused throughout the process, all the way through to the delivery. And if you need the guys to take away or move furniture while you get the new stuff delivered, that's all part of what they do at no extra charge. Check them out. Gallery Furniture, one of three locations is all you need. And those three locations are conveniently located all throughout Houston. And as Max says, and he means it, Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5.
Whatever you is, stay yourself. You see it all the time. Everybody changing on you. Yeah? You watch the news. Black women turn to white women. White women turn to black women. That's why I'm glad I'm married. I ain't even got to deal with it no more. I feel sorry for single people. I feel sorry for single people who got to get to know somebody. If you with somebody, stay with them. Remember, ladies, back in the day, all you had to worry about if somebody had a job. You know that? That was the only question you had to worry about. Oh, okay, where you work? Okay, you provide. Okay, mailman, benefits, cool, okay. Cool. Not no more. You better get personal. You got to ask questions they don't even see coming. Because you don't know. Won't turn on you. You don't know what they is. You got to ask. Let me see a picture when you were 6 and a half.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on an F, yeah, Friday, and F is funny. Funny is Bryson Brown. You just heard the final clip as we've been getting some excerpts of our comedian of the week, Bryson Brown, for you, the listeners. And as Barry has mentioned, he's from Austin, Texas. He's kind of an up-and-comer, and hopefully you guys will get out and check him out and notate the fact that hopefully in a couple of years he's big time.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys that's on his way. He's got the connects. I mean, when you feature for Bruce and travel all over the country doing so, and you featured for Ali Sadiq, who's the question came up in a a comedy forum here in Houston, who was the top headliner in our city? And without a doubt, it's Ali Sadiq. I mean, he's doing things nationally, big things. So, and Bryson's featuring for him as well. So, yeah, it's only a matter of time when you got a guy like that with a connect like that. And he's funny, because that's the thing. You can have the connections, but if you're not funny, it's not going to do you any good. Bryson is one of those dudes that's just naturally funny. I feel like he could go up and talk about anything and just make it funny. So follow him on Twitter, comedian_Bryson. And also, if you want to check him out, he does a show every Tuesday at the Houston Improv at 8:30 called Comedy Junkies. And it comes on. It was started by Ali Sadiq, but Bryson runs that show, and they always have really good comedians. They had Cole from Martin was there not too long ago. He just dropped in and did a set. So get out there on Tuesdays at 8:30. Check out Comedy Junkies with Bryson Brown as well.
Damn, Gina.
Yeah. That one.
Yeah.
So it's a good time to get out there. It's right after the open mic, too. I'm usually at the end of the open mic, and then I hang around for Comedy Junkies. So check it out.
Some comments on Twitter. Look, Lamont makes a good point that in other sports, integrity of the game has been messed with, and there's no doubt about it. Not saying that I agree with it, but it's true. But, you know, baseball fields are not uniform. We know that. But at the same time, you know, the three-point line came and went in the NBA. It's back. I just don't like the fact that baseball is one of those sacred sports that's been able to avoid what other sports have not been able to, and they've succumbed to the pressure of marketing and broadcasting and everything else. And baseball, to this point, hasn't had to do that. The closest thing we've seen is the designated hitter. But overall, when you look at it, you know, I'd hate to see baseball have to do that. It's just something that's a given. When you know to go to a baseball game, if you're going for a quick event, then don't go.
Right.
You know, if you're watching on TV, DVR it, watch it later.
Yep. Part of me, the appeal of baseball is the pace of play. It's the fact that you can hang out with your buddy at a game, drink some beers, and talk about, you know, whatever it is you guys want to talk about when you hang out, but you're doing it at a sporting event because you don't have to be paying attention every single second. Mm-hmm. Football is a three-hour game. No one says anything about that. I mean, think about it, a football game, when you sit down to watch, what time does the first game start? Noon.
Yep.
What time does the second game start? 3:15, 3:30. It's a three-hour game because of TV, but still, you'll sit there for 3 hours, and you talk about breaks in between the action.
You got me right where I'm going.
That's a longer break a lot of times than you would have in baseball.
There's a reason why.
Which brings me to the question, is it really the pace of play? Or is baseball, people are just not paying attention to baseball like they used to?
So here's two things, Nick, on that. One of the things that I've always said is, look, baseball's not for everyone. And so if it's too slow for you, then you don't have to watch or you don't have to get into it or you can catch it up on the internet. Because a lot to what Barry's point was saying, I like to go with other people that think baseball because you can think strategy. You know you're thinking and talking and at the same time thinking about what you would do in a certain situation, or you know how baseball strategically breaks down to where it's a thinking man's game. It's kind of like chess. Chess isn't over in 10 minutes.
Right.
But it's for a reason. So I to that point, I go there. To your point, Barry, on the games, look, take football in general and realize why the NFL Network has specific post-game recaps where you can get an entire NFL game in less than an hour.
Yep.
Because of why? Because if you take out halftime and all the commercial breaks and all the stoppages in play and everything like that, you can get a full NFL game. Think about that now. 3.5 hours is what we said start to finish on broadcast television. And you can get it in about 43 minutes.
Well, is it, what's a quarter, 15?
Well, but even then, with the clocks running, the clock is running between plays.
That's true.
And that's what they do. But that's still, what they you got
to
get through. Too.
So to be fair, in less than an hour, you can get a full NFL game recap. So that tells you how much minutia is going around outside of the actual game.
But that's such a good point that Barry brought up, because I didn't even think about it. If the broadcast watching time is not that much different between NFL game and baseball, is it really the pace of play?
And sometimes you'll get a baseball game in 2.5 hours, which is shorter than a football
pitcher's
game.
Pitcher's duel, absolutely.
Shorter than a football game.
Yeah, well, early in the season, there was at least two games that were three games, like within the first 10 games of the Astros season last year was under 3 hours.
So I think what it has to do with the perception of activity, and what I mean by that is, if you have a pitcher that's up there nibbling at the corners and pitching around a guy, let's say he's facing Aaron Judge, mm-hmm. and so he's not just going to throw strikes, so he's going to nibble around and gets to a full count, and then there's a foul ball and a foul ball, and he fouls off 7 pitches. You're 15 pitches into this at bat. there's no action yet.
Right.
Once Aaron Judge hits the home run, you waited, you know, 7 minutes for 15 seconds of gratification with the home run, as opposed to every play in football, you know, they're pounding the rock or it's a pass. So I think the action
absolutely
takes place. There's more perceived action.
You hit it. It's
than
the
in
lack
baseball.
Of action, like quick twitch action, like you get in football on every play, or you get in basketball when the ball's in play. It's going up and down the floor. There's a lot of high flying, energetic stuff going on. In baseball, it's just not the case. It's like soccer. There are aficionados of soccer who love it if it's a 0-0 tie and can find the action and know what they're looking for and break it down and be enamored by every minute and every second. Mm-hmm. But there are other people that go, I just spent 3 hours watching a 0-0 tie. I can't get those 3 hours back in my life.
Yep.
And so that's, I mean.
And I usually say, hey, look, all right, there's a game. It's probably going to be about 3 hours. When does it start? That's usually what I ask myself. Oh, it starts at 8 or 9? Oh, man, I might not. Is it that important of a game? I'm probably not going to watch it. That's how I look at it. And that goes across all sports.
And here's
baseball, football, and basketball.
Yeah, you're right. But here's some of the hypocritical stuff, too. The same people, which are the networks, that are clamoring for quicker games because they have a broadcast window if they're broadcasting them, too. They're the same people saying, with the exorbitant rights fees we have to pay to get these games on our air, we need more commercial time so that we can sell it to get that money back. So which side are you on?
Yep.
Because in order to get more commercial time, you got to extend the game by extending the time between innings. So it's that right there to me is a catch-22 that they got to work out first.
I think it's freaking them out too, because the average time I think went up from last year. It's like 3 hours, up to 3 hours and like 8 minutes from like, I don't know, just under 3 hours last year. And I think that's freaking them out.
Probably. But again, of the three major sports, two of them take 3 hours to play. So what's the big kerfluffle about?
Absolutely right about that. All right, Benny, we see you. We'll get you in here after the break and then we'll continue to roll on. So hang tough, and we'll be back with you in just mere minutes.
Yeah, right now, Healthy Gourmet is a way for you to lose weight, eat healthy, and eat good food. So I want you to go check out healthygourmet.com. You can get meals for under $8, have them delivered to your home. You can customize your meal plan, all done online. You don't have to leave. If you remember, there used to be a company that had a packaged meal plan, but you had to get out and go to their store and hope that they had what you liked, and if they didn't, you wasted gas and time and everything else. Not with healthygourmet.com. You log on, you make your pick, you fill up your shopping cart with delicious, healthy alternatives to help you lose the weight, because I know you guys want to win this Usual Suspects weight loss challenge. Healthy Gourmet, your way, is here to help you do that. They have low carb options. If you're on a low carb diet, they have paleo, they have gluten free, vegan. If you're doing the vegan thing, they have that for you. All meals for all lifestyles is one of the things that they can offer for you. Custom meal plans, you can actually customize your meal. So if you want to add a certain meat and add a certain vegetable and add a sauce, and all of it's done online, so it could not be easier, it could not be healthier, and it could not be more delicious. Check it out, healthygourmet.com. Make sure you get on there, get your meal plan set up. They have a ton of options for you. I had recently the jambalaya. It was really good. I threw some hot sauce in there. I think you'll enjoy that. And then for breakfast, they have this Texas chili breakfast, and I wanted to get the exact name for you, but it's a Texas chili breakfast bowl, and it's made with turkey chili, scrambled eggs, bell peppers, onions, mushrooms, cheddar cheese. Really, really good. 325 calories. I think you're going to like it. Give it a shot. Log on to healthygourmet.com and start seeing success in your weight loss today.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final half hour of The Usual Suspect. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on an F Yeah Friday. If you missed anything in the show, including Bryson Brown, our comedian of the week, or any of the great back and forth we've had for the first 2.5 hours, check the podcasts out. They are there for you, and they're free. So get in there, check them out, and you can see what you missed.
Because we're just far too busy to backtrack.
Somebody texted the show and said, "Hey Barry, since you hate Houston, wait, time
where
out.
Did that come from?"
I'm not going to even finish the text yet. Who says I hate Houston?
It stems from the Dallas.
It's because I called the city I was born and raised in dirty. So all of a sudden I hate Houston.
That might be it.
I root for the Texans. I root for the Rockets. I root for the Astros. I'm fans of these teams. I've lived in this city my whole life. I'm featuring, you know, Houston comics that I know and I want to expose because of our scene here.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Anyways.
Can I tell you this? The one thing that bothers me.
He said,
about
what's the stuff all over the roads for the ice? Some of it is gravel, right? And some of it is salt.
Yeah.
So, well, they put down a gravel.
It's a mixture.
Like, what do they call it?
Go ahead. Get that out of your system.
It's not shale, is it? Is it shale that they're putting
there's
down?
There's something like that. Okay. But, I mean, it depends. Look, a lot of cities avoid using rock salt because rock salt is what makes cars erode and rust.
Yeah.
But at the same time, and I was going to ask you guys if you experienced this, because of all that crap they've been putting down that's mostly rock on the highways because of the overpasses.
Chips. And,
yeah, man, yeah. My windshield is just getting dinged every day.
Yeah, it's freaking me out.
It's annoying.
My buddy Connor Hogan tweeted to you and I and said that regards to soccer and pace of play and baseball and all that, he said soccer matches are an hour and 45 minutes tops. And there are zero commercials outside of halftime. So a 0-0 draw is more palatable when the action is constant in 45-minute chunks.
And I wasn't taking a shot at soccer at all, but I'm just
saying. Yeah, you were.
No, I wasn't. I was saying,
mean, you've said off air how much you hate soccer.
That's not true, Glenn Davis. I've said.
You don't want Glenn to try to whoop somebody's ass, huh?
He's in Asia right now. So
okay.
He's,
we're good. He's definitely not going to podcast our show.
So. I was just saying that. Just like baseball aficionados don't care how long it takes because they want to talk strategy and, you know, think about things that from play to play to situation, soccer people do the same thing when even if it's a 0-0 tie because so many more the knock on soccer is a lack of scoring.
But at least there's constant action. Movement.
There is action.
There's something
but at
going
the same time,
on, like
too,
basketball.
Aficionados can break down. A guy might make a hell of a slide tackle in a defensive play and people just watching soccer goes, meh, there was no scoring there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, you know, potato, potato, whatever. All right, before we get off that topic, Benny wants to get in here real quick, talk about baseball changes. What's up, Benny?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, man?
Hey, y'all seem to resolve the discussion. I enjoyed it. I was just wanting to add in some additional points, kind of defend baseball a little bit and throw football under a bus. I feel like baseball's evolved extremely well over time. If you look at things such as players back in the day, they had to actually change the dimensions of play, raise the pitcher's mound because guys were throwing too hard. And whenever you had your original baseball fields, the fences were like 500, 600 feet. And over time that they've built new stadiums, they've brought in those fences quite a bit to contribute to scoring and increase for attendance and do things for the fans. And there's also the quote-unquote juice ball era and things that owners have done behind closed doors to evolve the game for people. But at its core, baseball was invented as a way to pass time. Back whenever you just got through working off the farm, there's nothing to do till sundown. So it never had a clock inherently built into it. With football, this game has always had a clock. And I think the point that y'all made, which y'all said is the catch-22, is that you have the TV people that are complaining, wanting their cake and eating it too. But whenever you watch a game that's televised, if you're a fan, you see the referee with the orange sleeve. He runs out and he'll stop play, and nobody does nothing. Mm-hmm. And you'll have players ready to play. And I kind of wonder if you take away all of these commercial breaks, and I can only imagine at the Super Bowl how many commercials are lined up. If you get rid of these commercial breaks, can we get back to where stamina is actually a factor in football? I mean, a lot of these guys are getting, what, 8, 9, 10 timeouts a half? If you include all the television breaks in between change of possessions and so forth, and football games are going longer than baseball, and football doesn't hasn't changed its playing dimensions, any of the rules it's gone by, except what moving the field goal posts from the front of the end zone to the back.
Well, yeah, appreciate the call, Benny. I mean, football has made some changes to make the scoring more make it easier to score. I mean, there are a lot of the rule changes protecting the quarterback, defensive pass interference, making it easier to get the ball downfield, supplying some more action. So they've changed rules. They've tried to make it safer. But, yeah, as far as integrity of the game, there's been not been a ton of changes. There's been some innovations, and I think that's where you got to be careful. There's a difference between an innovation like the forward pass and a change where you move the field goal. The mound was a change. But you know, the stadiums and the home runs, that's all for the character of the game, and they got away from the cookie cutter stuff. But when you start, the DH was a fundamental change. It wasn't an innovation. So I see your point about football, and you're right about the guys that come out and stop playing, they're ready to play again. But at the same time, I do see where a game like baseball can be boring to people because of our instant gratification.
I looked up the average time. It's 3 hours and 12 minutes.
For a baseball game or football?
No, for football.
Yeah.
Oh.
And baseball was 3:08 last year.
Right.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, I mean, if baseball is, if it's really bothering you, to me, again, it goes back to the fact that there's more action. If NFL games are longer, then why is longer and baseball games are more pleasing to watch, then why is the commission, baseball fans, and everybody so worried about making changes?
I think people got to realize exactly what Nick just said. The difference between a football game and a baseball game is 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said. They're both 3 hour games.
I bet you if you asked people that in a poll question, no one would get anywhere. I wouldn't. There was no way.
Because everybody
complains. I'm a genius, guys. What can I say?
Don't go.
I mean, I'm a genius.
Well, everybody complains about how long the baseball game is. It's because it's the length in between. It's the slow action in between.
I hate to say this, but with football, it's more of an instant gratification sport. And I don't take this the wrong way, but there's more strategy, it seems, in baseball, pitch in and pitch out. In football, you might be like, you know, you're trying to get a first down. So don't get me wrong. There's strategy, and I'm not trying to suggest that football is not a thinking man's game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But when it comes to baseball, there's a lot more strategy per instance than in football. Sometimes in football, you're just like, well, running up
the
middle,
you might run the
punt.
2 minute.
Yeah.
Or you might run the hurry up at a time.
Or you might just say, you know what, we just don't want to lose field position. Just run the ball. It's 3rd and 20. Run the ball up the middle and punt, and we'll try again next drive. In baseball, you might intentionally walk a guy, but that's not giving up. It's out of strategy. It's almost every single pitch is setting up another pitch.
And depending on the score, it changes.
Yeah.
First and third, early in the game, you may throw through and try and get the guy at second base. First and third in a one-run game in the 7th or 8th inning, you may have a totally different perspective.
Correct.
Those are all those different things, too. Just like on the soccer argument, and I think I handled it pretty well in terms of just talking about, you know, people that are aficionados can break down more, but that's what baseball is, too. And also, from a soccer perspective, like Benny's call, if that soccer game is on TV, yeah, the actual time on the field is 90 minutes with extended play for stoppages, but also, if it's commercialized, the halftime, the pregame, in between, all those different things. You got to factor that in, and it comes to about 3 hours. I've been to games at NRG Stadium between Mexico and the United States. 3 hours, and I might have been a little bit light on the time.
That guy that said I hated Houston, he said, Bear, I was just giving you a hard time. Come on, man. Much love. Plus, it was funnier to start like that. All right. Apology accepted. I thought you were saying I actually hate Houston. I don't.
No, I was going to say.
Not that much.
We wouldn't let that slide.
No.
All right, we got one segment to go on the big show. It's been a good one and a great week, but we'll wrap it up and put a bow on it next, then turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz, all right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on an F Yeah Friday. Before we wrap this thing up, we've got to get a guy that's looking for a hobby. Because his football team is done, and he wants to talk baseball of all things. Clarence, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
What up, dude?
First, I want to disagree with Benny. Yeah, the statistics say that football games last longer than baseball, but he's not including any kind of extra innings or any overtime that may happen because last time I checked, the longest football game I'll go on is probably 3:30, maybe 3:45. Long extra inning baseball game will easily go 4, maybe 5 hours all the way into the morning.
Right.
Secondly,
but,
I want
to. But Clarence, just to play devil's advocate on that part, you realize that those are pretty rare that'll happen, just like it's rare to have overtime games. And those are also going to factor in the average length. So they're taking into account a 2 hour and 20 minute game, which you're never going to get in football ever. You can get a 2 hour and 20 minute game plus a 4 hour and 20 minute game, which is going to average out to the 3 hours. So just for every 4 hour game that you might have to sit through, there's the 2 hour one. So keep that in mind too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Another thing I want to touch on is I really don't believe they should mess with the timing of baseball because, like you said, some purists, I'm not a purist of baseball myself, but I enjoy a good pitching duel. I enjoy watching a pitcher go against a batter. It'd be 12, 13, 14 pitches where they're strategizing. The batter's trying to hit a curveball, slider, anything, and a pitcher's trying to outdo him. I enjoy watching stuff like that. And imagine them putting a timer on it at 20 seconds to each pitch. That, you know, you're taking away from some enjoyable things of the game, guys.
Appreciate the call, Clarence, and I totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of that's the appeal for me. And again, that's not going to be for everybody, and that's fine. It's the same way when you've got guys that love soccer, that are passionate about soccer, and they don't care if it's a 0-0 tie. As long as it's a good match, more power to them. Not my thing, but more power to them. I'm not going to hate on them. I might joke about not liking soccer, but at the end of the day, I don't care what they watch. If you don't like baseball, you're not going to watch it, period. I don't care if they speed up the game or not. You could cut baseball games down to 2 hours and 40 minutes on average. They're the same people that don't watch now are still not going to watch. And a texter had a good point where he said, it's hard to draw comparisons about the value of baseball and the value of football because the games mean less in baseball overall. And I would tend to agree with him. When you have 162 games versus 16 games, it's not the same thing.
If you're dedicating a Sunday to watching football, it's one thing. But when you're talking about a four-game series on a homestand and you're trying to watch all that baseball, look, and again, to all the people out there, it's what you're passionate about.
Yeah.
You know, every sport's going to be complicated. Every sport's going to have, you know, thinking and communication and strategy. But if you love the sport, you'll stay dedicated because you understand it and you want to think about it. So therefore, you want to stay tuned into it. And if you're not so much into it or you're just a casual fan, you can come and go and flip back and forth or do whatever you want. But we're talking about a sport that feels like they're constantly in need of trying to shorten the game times.
I agree. Somebody texted the show and said, Barry, you may not hate Houston, but I think by the end of the night, you will hate Alexander Hamilton. That's
a fantastic text.
100% accurate, sir. I have a feeling I'm going to hate this camel with everything I have in me.
Boy, I hope so.
I am so nervous now.
And I hope they don't drug test it either.
What?
The camel. I hope some... Nick, get it jacked up on speed.
I hope I get like a really old camel that's like... I don't even want to win. I mean, I do want to win because I want to...
You're competitive. You want to win. And if you didn't, I'd be mad at you.
I want to win because I want to donate the $500 to St. Jude's. And I am competitive.
Yeah.
But if I got a really slow old camel with a bad hip that just meandered to the finish line, that also wouldn't bother me at all.
At least you stay healthy.
Yeah.
But you better be humping for that W, buddy.
Oh, right.
You better be pounding that hump for the W. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm not humping any camels, Joel. I feel like that's what you're wanting me to do here.
Just pound the hump, brother.
Did you see they released a interview with Tom Brady on ESPN at 3:15 our time?
Okay.
And his big answer to his hand was, we'll see.
About whether he plays or not?
Yeah, we'll see. So, let's see. Brady, who was officially listed as questionable on the team's injury report, deflected questions on how confident he is that he'll play in Sunday's AFC Championship game against the Jags. We'll see, he said. Now, your initial reaction, I'm guessing, was probably like mine, where you're like, uh-oh, well, they could lose this game really easily. But keep in mind, this is the Patriots, a team that will list everyone as questionable so that you have no idea who's going to play on Sunday. And I have a feeling that there's some gamesmanship going on right now. Brady knows if he's going to play or not, and that you have a feeling that if he's coming out and saying, we'll see, that he's going to play, but he doesn't want the Jags. He wants the Jags to now have to feel like they have to prepare for not only Tom Brady, but Brian Hoyer as well.
Absolutely.
So he's using it to his advantage.
That's all that they do. Did I hear that he went to the press
conference?
You guys
are convinced that there's nothing wrong with his hand?
No, I think he may have hurt it. I think it may have been hurt, but I think he knows. We'll see is the most vague answer you could give to the so that you give no information to the other team to use in preparation.
You could have expected that going in. That's the Patriots way. Yeah, right. They're not giving away a single thing.
It could also
thing.
Be him hiding the fact that
did
he
did I hear he went to the podium with the glove on?
You don't think so.
I heard he did the press conference with the glove on. Now, that would be a bit much.
I'm looking at the video, and I don't see his hands, so I don't know.
I mean, look.
He had a stupid beanie on. You're Tom Brady. You got all the money in the world, and that's the beanie? Oh, he did have a glove on. He scratched his head, and he's got his red glove on.
That's a bit much.
Yeah, that where'd it go? Yeah, but yeah, probably, so he's wearing his
TV 12. To the dramatics exactly. And everything else. But look, at the
Tom
end of the
Brady's
day.
Tom Brady's going to play.
They just want the other team to waste as much time possible on minutia.
Yep. That's all it is. It's gamesmanship. This is what they do. So that said, who do you got? You going knowing what you know, knowing the injury situation, the spread, if you care, is Patriots. It's in 7.5.
That's a lot.
The matchup predictor on ESPN has them. They predict a 75% chance to win. That's significant.
I am picking, unless Brady doesn't play and even still.
Not unless. You got to take that into account.
I'm taking the Patriots.
You're taking the Patriots? So you're risking the injury and saying, I think he'll make it through enough
to win the
game. Now,
the weather
is
not going to be a factor in Philadelphia, is it? I heard it could be up to 50 degrees at game time in Philly. And that's the
49 degrees. 49 degrees in Philly.
The temperature will drop when the sun goes down, but at the same time, that's a big plus for the Vikings in a lot of ways.
Yep, 49 degrees. And then in New England, it's 45 degrees and sunny, partly sunny.
Okay.
So weather won't be a factor in New England. So you're going Patriots no matter what.
I'm taking the Patriots. I just don't know how you bet against a team with that reputation and that track record.
Yeah. Nick?
I'm in the similar situation, or the same situation you were in last week, because I picked the Patriots, I believe, to win it all.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's hard for me. I want to pick the Jags, but I'm going to pick the Patriots.
See, I'm with you. I really feel like that this Jags team can beat the Patriots. They're good enough in just about every facet of the game to beat the Patriots, except one, but it happens to be the most important one, and that's at QB, the head-to-head matchup between Bortles and Brady. But I will tell you this. If Blake Bortles doesn't throw an interception, it won't surprise me if the Jags win, but I just don't think that's going to happen. I think that this moment right now is where it might get too big for him. Reluctantly, I'm picking New England. But I'm not going to be surprised at all if Jacksonville beats them.
Did we talk about the spread or the line on this game? Or no?
Yeah, it's 7.5 is for New England, for the Patriots. Seven
I think
and
that's
half.
Steep. I think that's a lot for what Jacksonville's defense is capable of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I am with you on that as well. Now, in the other game, Vikings versus Eagles. Obviously, it's at home. Philly is at home. They are a 3-point underdog at home.
Second week in a row, underdog at home for the number one seed in the NFC. There's just something about it that tells me Philly is going to do it at home. Plus, you know, by the way, the track record for in conference championships, sorry to interrupt, it's overwhelmingly in favor of the home team in conference championship games, the record. I saw something this morning.
Yeah.
But I just think at home, Philly, chip on their shoulder, still got a guy that you can rely on that's a game manager. I just, for some reason, just call it a gut feeling. I'm going Philly Patriots.
Are you? I'm going 13-10 Minnesota.
That low scoring, huh?
Yeah.
I'm picking Minnesota as well.
Both of these defenses, I really feel like it's going to be Keenum. I get how he's playing and Stephon Diggs and Thielen and all that, but that Minnesota offensive line isn't that good.
So you guys are just going like you always do with the favorites.
Isn't that good to hold up with? Yeah, right? And then on the flip side, I mean, I get that the right side of that Philly line is pretty good with Brooks and Johnson and Kelsey, but that Minnesota front seven is ridiculously good.
No doubt. I mean, that's why it should be interesting. But by the way, what was the first name on the offensive line in Philly you mentioned?
They can get pressure on Foles as well. What are you talking about?
Was that Brandon Brooks? Was that the ex-Texan that they let get away, Brandon Brooks? I'm just checking.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah, so my Super Bowl, I guess, going in is Patriots-Vikings. You're going Patriots-Eagles. You're going Patriots-Vikings. My heart is saying Jags-Vikings, but I'm still sticking with the Patriots pick.
I want
Damn it. I want to pick the Jags so bad.
People forget a lot of things. People forget how right we are on a lot of our predictions. You on the Jaguars, you on the Rockies, me on everything from Kevin Sumlin to telling you the two big stinkers at the start of the year with the Raiders and the Cowboys. But the fact of the matter is, we send people to bigger and better things. Keenan McCardell left this show so he could be a part of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and look where it's gotten him. I want the Jags to win for him and for the underdog.
There you go.
Regardless, and because I hate the Patriots.
There you go.
So that should be fun, too. Keep an eye out for Keenan on the sidelines, by the way. He's normally pretty visible. I gave him a hard time last week that he had, like, 23 layers on. It wasn't that cold. And he was like, dude, I was sweating. I go, that's because you had more layers on than half the team. But we appreciate it. Another great show. You guys doing the suspect thing, which we appreciate. Very good luck getting out on the camel. Hopefully that you hump us to victory. We'll turn it over to Fred, AJ, and Jong are next with the Blitz. Have a great weekend, everybody. ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.